if you love this man, would you murder him? She said, no, I would not. I said, if you love this man, would you steal from him? No, I would not. If you love this man, would you try to take what he has or covet what he has and try to pull it away from him? No, I would not. I said, if you love this man, would you lie to him or lie about him, tell untruth about him? No, I would not. I said, ma'am, I only have one question left for you. If you really love this man, would you commit adultery with him?
Welcome to Glimpses of Calvary, and thank you for joining us. Glimpses of Calvary is a radio ministry of Calvary Baptist Church in Findlay, Ohio. Join us now as our pastor, Gordon Dixon, opens the Word of God to us.
First Corinthians chapter 13 is where we're turning, and we're going to be looking this morning at the first three verses. This is given as part of an introduction to the series that we are commencing on the Ten Commandments. It is important to recognize the very nature of the Ten Commandments, even from the beginning. And so in these introductory messages, I hope to infuse those with new meaning as we begin to examine them. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and notice, if you will, in verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, which is love, I am become as sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. When you think of the Ten Commandments, what comes to your mind? I am always astounded as I read through the Word of God and see the way that the Ten Commandments are characterized. The fact is, they are so relevant and so practical for today, and we can see this as we study our Bibles. You're holding your place there in Romans chapter 13, and so just by way of introduction, let's turn back over there to Romans chapter 13 just for a moment. And in Romans chapter 13, we find a discussion. This is in the practical section of Romans. Romans chapter 1 through 11 are very much devoted to doctrine. Chapter 6, 7, and 8 are somewhat practical, but largely they are devoted to some of the most beautiful and wonderful doctrines of God's righteousness, how the Lord declares us to be righteous. By the time you get to Romans 11:36, the last verse, it says, "For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever." And then it immediately begins in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, to beseech us that we would present our bodies as living sacrifices. It is fascinating to work down through this chapter on fire, Romans chapter 12, a chapter on reconciliation, and then to get into chapter 13, where it begins to talk to you about your responsibilities to government. The powers that be are ordained of God. But right there in Romans chapter 13, you find somewhat of a heartbeat that in a sense just pumps lively, refreshed, oxygenated blood all through that, so that you begin to understand and see why Romans 13 is so essential. Romans chapter 13, and you're looking here at verse 9. Watch what it says in verse 9. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery. Okay, that's one of the Ten Commandments. You should not commit sexual sin, sex outside of marriage. Thou shalt not kill. We understand that to be murder. You shall do no murder. You shall not do adultery. You shall not steal, taking something that does not belong to you. You shall not bear false witness. This is lying, gossiping, using your tongue in a way that hurts the testimony of others. Thou shalt not covet. You could, for the word covet, also translated as lust. You shall not lust or covet. What did Paul say in Romans chapter 7? I had not known lust, except the law had said, you shall not covet. So that's how Paul really came to understand it. Okay, here's the question. Why? What is it that drives us? What is it that motivates us? What is it that keeps us from adultery and murder and theft and using our tongues to hurt others and lying? What is it? Well, watch what he says. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended, you could say summarized or summed up, in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Ladies and gentlemen, I can demonstrate passages like that to you all throughout the Word of God. That when you get right down to it, the Ten Commandments are, well, the illumination of the laws of love. In other words, the Ten Commandments are about how to love the Lord and how to love others. If you and I would be intimately acquainted with learning what it means to love, and has not love been obfuscated and confused and twisted all over creation by this culture today, other world cultures, the media, it's as if they have no clue what love is all about. It helps you and me in the fog to go back and turn on the fog lights of the Ten Commandments and understand that from their very essence, from the beginning, they're really about love. They are really about us loving others and demonstrating love toward others. Many of you remember the illustration I gave about this when I was a youth pastor. I was trying to study and working through the Ten Commandments, and this was beginning to dawn on me. I was beginning to understand what I am explaining to you this morning. We had a situation in our church where there was a man that had to be put under church discipline. He had to be put under church discipline because he would not repent of the sexual sin that he was involved in, and he was involved with a woman from another good congregation. The two congregations, we met together, we talked about what must be done. We put him under church discipline, they put her under church discipline, and one day this woman called me and asked to speak to me, and I thought, who am I? I'm just the youth pastor. Isn't there somebody else to take this telephone call? And she got on the phone with me and she said, I just want you to know I am very upset about what people are saying about me. I said, ma'am, what are people saying about you? She said that I am running around with this man. I am running around town and I'm having an affair with this man. I said, well, ma'am, are you running around with this man? Are you having an affair with this man? She said, yes, but I wish they quit talking about it. I said, well, ma'am, I have an idea for you. If you would stop doing it, perhaps they would stop talking about it. And she said, you don't understand. I love this man. Well, here I'd been studying this. I said, ma'am, just for a few minutes, could I just spend a few minutes here conversing with you and talking about this? She said, yes, but you won't change my mind. I said, well, that's fine. Let's just begin to interview here, shall we? I said, what if I were your attorney, but the judge you were standing for would be the Lord Jesus Christ? If you had to stand before the judgment seat, and if I were your attorney, and I were to ask you questions that you would then respond to the Lord, may I just walk you through this? And she said, sure, you can do anything you want to, but you're not going to change my mind. I said, all right. Number one, do you have any other gods before God? And she said, well, I absolutely do not have any other gods before God. I said, so whatever God says, that's what goes, right? I mean, that's what you do. Whatever He says, He's God, and so you obey Him. She said, well, when you put it that way, I said, ma'am, don't let me put words in your mouth. How would you put it? She said, well, when you think about it that way, I guess I really don't. I said, so, according to the Ten Commandments, you really don't love God. And I walked her all the way down through that. I said, for instance, do you, for instance, name the name of the Lord, and do you claim to be a Christian? She said, well, yes, I do. I said, so when the Bible says don't take God's name in vain, you claim the name of Christ, Christian, but here you are, you're taking it and dragging it through the mud of this world before a watching world. She said, well, you know, I guess I really don't love the Lord. I asked her, as I worked through this, I asked, do you love your parents? She said, you'll never convince me that I don't love my parents. I said, so the Bible says, honor your father and mother. Do you believe that your mom and dad are very pleased by what you're doing right now? She said, well, no, they're absolutely in disagreement with it. I said, then, ma'am, if you're going to honor them, if you really honor your father and mother, wouldn't you act in a moral manner and please them? And in fact, wouldn't that demonstrate you really don't love them? She said, okay, you got me. You demonstrated to me I really don't love the Lord and I really don't love my parents. She said, but you'll never convince me that I don't love this man. I know that I love this man. I know in my heart that I love this man. I love him. I said, fine, fair enough. Let's begin to work through it. I said, ma'am, if you love this man, would you murder him? She said, no, I would not. I said, if you love this man, would you steal from him? No, I would not. If you love this man, would you try to take what he has or covet what he has and try to pull it away from him? No, I would not. I said, if you love this man, would you lie to him or lie about him, tell untruth about him? No, I would not. I said, ma'am, I only have one question left for you. If you really love this man, would you commit adultery with him? For just about 2 minutes, she sat without saying a word. And I just sat there, let the Spirit of God work. And she finally murmured, maybe I really don't love this man. I said, ma'am, on the authority of the Word of God, I think you're right. I think that what you have done is you have allowed the world, the flesh, and the devil to redefine love so that love is now, you're not even sure what it is anymore. And what I would pray for you is that you would, out of love, turn back to your own husband. 2 weeks later, everything ended. Probably 3 months later, we restored the man to fellowship, one of the most glorious meetings we've ever had in our church. Now, I'd like to ask you, as you turn back over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I would like to ask you to look deeply, to carefully consider. I know that I am speaking to a congregation this morning that we have taken you through an entire series, an entire quarter of Sunday school lessons on love your neighbor, what it means to love one another. Fascinating, wonderful teaching we receive from the Word of God, how thankful we are for that. I've never quite gotten over the impact of that study of what it means to love one another. But I think that what we have to do from the beginning, if we know that love is the heartbeat, it's the beating heart here that inspires us and compels us, motivates us to fulfill the Ten Commandments, isn't it important for us to know what love is? What is love? Well, it's very plain in Scripture that at the very least, love is self-sacrificial. It is self-denying. And that comes out very plainly. God so loved the world that He gave, and whom did He give? He gave His only begotten Son. That's a sacrifice of Himself. He gave the Lord Jesus Christ. If you and I are to be loving people, it involves being self-sacrificial. Now look, the world really will twist this all over. The world says, oh no, you need to practice the esteemed self. You can't love others until you love yourself, whatever that means. I can show you two passages in Scripture that help you to qualify what that means about loving your own soul and cherishing your own soul. But it certainly doesn't mean what the self-esteem crowd has tried to make it out to be. So as we talk about love this morning, let's ask, well, really, what is love? It's interesting that our King James Version would translate this as the word charity, because the word charity in our thinking today communicates the idea that you are giving to someone who really cannot repay you.
Thank you for joining us for Glimpses of Calvary. This is a radio ministry of Calvary Baptist Church, 2000 Broad Avenue in Findlay, Ohio, 45840. That address again is 2000 Broad Avenue, Findlay, Ohio, 45840. Please join us again each weekday at this same time as we look for Glimpses of Calvary.